Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography all the time, except for last week where we kind of went off on iPads, but, you know, it was an Apple thing. We had to do it. We had to give him their due. But now we're back to the iPhone, and yay, we got a good, exciting show today for you guys. We have some great updates that we just received on the iPhone, iPhone apps, and all that other crazy stuff. I am Mark Sadowski.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And let's start with just something simple. How have you guys been doing with some of these new fancy schmancy updates to our apps? I think we're all excited to talk about the Snapseed update. I forget what version it is, but it added a few new features. One in particular is an HDR function. And I have to say, this week, I have just been going nuts with editing photos on my iPhone and iPad. How about you guys?
Yeah, I've been playing with all the updates. Every time I see that I have updates, it's like Christmas morning.
I started playing with it, and actually I pulled over, turned back around because I saw a scene that I liked, and took a picture and is able to use that on the first day of the update.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's just dive right into it and start with a bit of news.
News team, assemble!
Snapseed. It has awesome HDR. In my opinion, I think this is probably one of the better HDR creation tools out there on the iOS devices. As I've been playing with it, I have, you know, made some great HDRs from a single shot, which is pretty remarkable in and of itself. And the photos are actually really usable. Like, one of the things that kind of bugged me about iPhone apps is that it'll create an image, but when you actually look at it up close and personal, when you export it to your computer screen and you enlarge it, it's just like a jumbled pile of pixel crap. Much better on the small screen. But with this latest update with Snapseed, the photos are actually quite usable. What do you guys think? Have you guys seen the same thing?
I haven't really had the opportunity yet to really look at too many of the pictures that I've edited with Snapseed, like on a larger screen. But one of the things that I've noticed with that new HDR filter is that it doesn't seem to add a lot of like grain to the pictures.
Yeah.
Which was like, that was pretty much my biggest concern.
You wanted grain or you didn't want grain?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Like pretty much every filter that adds grain, I go in and turn the grain to zero.
Yeah. And sometimes it still adds grain. Yeah, same thing. I was pleasantly surprised. Now, for the most part, I've been editing photos that I've imported into Snapseed. For example, like some of the photos that we took on our Lenscursion trip a while back, I've been playing a lot with those. And most of those were taken with my Canon 50D, I think is the one I took with me. And then there were some photos that I've taken with the iPhone that I've done some edits, and all of it is coming out really good. What do you think, Joe?
I like it. I remember not too long ago, maybe a couple years ago, that I posted in some photography forums that, you can use a single image HDR, and I got ripped apart. You know, it was like, no, HDR is this. It was, you have to have at least three images.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're looking for high definition, help me out.
Dynamic.
Yeah, high dynamic range, you know, and that doesn't say high dynamic range with three photos, or it doesn't say high dynamic range with seven photos. You know, it's whatever you can bring out of an image to bring high dynamic range is an HDR image. But this is a good addition to the Snapseed.
Yeah. And yeah, it's great. I've been having a great time with it. And just from our Tiny Shutter feed alone, it looks like everybody else has been having a great time with it too.
Yeah.
I have seen a ton of people throwing out different HDRs. And the thing is that Snapseed produces a very unique version of HDR. Like I can actually tell that it's Snapseed edited. I don't know if you guys have been able to tell.
Not really. Actually, I haven't had enough time to say, oh yeah, look, you know, but I'm going to look at it now.
Yeah, I've had a lot of free time. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing yet. But it's great. I actually absolutely adore it. And I haven't used Snapseed in such a long time that it's now become like first page on my photography folder on my iOS device. And I've really been digging with it.
I haven't stopped using it.
Yeah, me neither. It hasn't left first page.
That's cool. So yeah, everybody should go ahead and get it. It's a free app. If you don't already have it, I don't know what's wrong with you, because they just keep dishing out app after app, and it's been really, really awesome. Next bit of news is that shortened battery life has been found in some new iPhones, and it's a bit of news that comes from the New York Times, and I'm going to spare you the details. So, you know, some people are seeing reduced battery life. And I got to say that, you know, this is to be expected with the new iPhones. This happens all the time, whether it's a iOS issue or if it's a hardware issue. It'll happen. And if that happens, the first thing I want to offer some advice with is go to the Apple Store and just let them know. Schedule an appointment, talk to an Apple genius, let them know. And more often than not, you're going to get a new iPhone out of the whole thing.
Well, I told you that I had a problem with my work phone, mm-hmm. where I couldn't even have the phone sitting idle for more than probably an hour or two.
Yeah.
And then it would be completely gone. That ended up being a software issue.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, you know, a lot of these people are saying, oh, you know, I'm having issues with my battery. You know, if, you know, especially being that the phone is brand new, maybe they should do a complete restore and start from scratch.
Yeah.
And that may, you know, may change something, because now I can leave that phone on and be idle for like almost a week.
Right.
Without the battery draining all the way.
Now, so, go on. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, so we don't know the full story, and obviously I don't have one. You're the only one that has one right now.
Unless, yeah.
Matthew, did you get one?
Did I get one what?
A new 5S?
No, Matt stayed with the 5.
Not yet. Oh, okay. So, you know, we don't know, and, you know, this – you know, I think a lot of people are like looking for, okay, what's wrong with this new model? Let's find it. You know, I don't know if there's so much to it.
Well, interestingly enough, that that comment you just mentioned is something that probably Apple is saying right now. I'm passing on this information from several sources. One in particular that I hear often enough is from MacBreak Weekly. And it's that Apple actively pursues looking for defective products. That every Apple Genius or Apple Store, whatever the heck it is, they basically have a scavenger list where if a customer is having this problem, take it and give them a new one. Just as simple as that. And that way they can dissect the problem. It'll be shipped back to Apple and just basically given, you know, the autopsy there on that device to see what's causing the problem. And then they either issue a software update or they issue a recall. I'm just kidding about the second one. but yeah, Apple is notoriously proactive in finding and fixing problems. They may be silent about it, but they are actually doing it, and quite rapidly. So if you are having trouble with your new iPhone, or any device for that matter, even if it is your computer, just bring it to Apple. They will give you the best service. And on that note, I wanted to bring up a story that one of my friends recently had. She's an older person. She lives in Oklahoma. Her name is Barbara. And she recently bought her son an iPhone 5S, the gold version. And she bought it through online means and through AT&T, not through Apple. So the device gets shipped. Her son gets the package. He's all excited. He opens it up and finds nothing inside. The thing has been gutted and stolen and then repackaged and then sent off. Now, who knows what the heck happened? But it was just like the most nerve-wracking thing because she was on the phone with AT&T for God knows how long. And this is her story. So I guess it's all technically allegedly. And AT&T, according to my friend Barbara, gave her the worst service that you can possibly imagine. They went through, she went through the most horrible experience, hours after hours of just miserable customer service. And I'm thinking like it's, if I recall what she said, it was literally between 4 and 5 hours of total time that she was on the phone with them, getting no results whatsoever. And so I'm, just trying to console her. And at this point, it just finally dawns on me. Like, wait a minute. Did you try calling Apple? She's like, no. I'm like, oh, call Apple. I mean, duh. Why didn't I give you this advice to begin with? Just call Apple. They will most likely, at very least, neuter AT&T.
Yeah.
And I've had great experience with Apple customer service. It dates back to when I had iTunes on my PC and my first gen iPhone lost its sync capability. And the guy was on the phone with me for hours trying to troubleshoot it. And then at the end, I eventually gave up and said, you know what? F it. I am just going to go buy a Mac right now. He's like, okay. And so I bought my first Mac after that. But the guy was on the phone with me for hours. And then, subsequent visits to the Genius Bars just had great customer service. And so, she gets off the phone with me miserable and tired and, just fed up with everything. And then I see on her Facebook page, like literally the next day, saying, I had a great experience with Apple. These guys are awesome. Their shit don't stink, literally. And the story is that she gets on the phone with the Apple person. And they both together call AT&T. And the Apple guy is silent for most of the conversation.
Yeah.
And then AT&T tries to pull out this stuff about, well, Apple won't allow this and Apple won't allow that. And that's when the Apple guy kicks in and says, I'm so-and-so customer representative from Apple, and what you're saying is not true at all. And, like, he just, like, totally just bitch-slapped AT&T. Like, not in, like, the mean sense, but he was just, like, on top of his game, one-upping them to the point where AT&T was like, all right, we can continue with this. We'll try to do blah, 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 but we can't have the Apple guy on the phone because it concerns custom, certain information.
Whatever.
And then the Apple guy is like, just one-ups him and is like, Barbara, do you feel comfortable enough for me to listen on to this conversation? Just goes through his rhetoric. And Barbara says, I certainly most want you on the phone. And she just gave the okay. It's like, well, we have consent from the customer.
Yeah, just, exactly.
It was just, I wish I could have recorded it or heard it or just been a fly on the wall because, and sure enough, like 1 hour later, a new gold iPhone was being shipped overnight to her son. So yes, Apple customer service will take care of your issues to the best of their ability, even if you don't have a warranty with them. They will at very least treat you extremely well. So if you're having trouble with your battery, for example, in this case, or somebody steals your iPhone, you just go to Apple and you'll at least have a positive experience. So that's the story I wanted to share. And I wanted to mention that in the news. Oh, and Joe said that some guy got saved because he got shot and he didn't die because he had an iPhone battery plug in his pocket and it caught the bullet. So blah, blah, blah.
That was brief. There's a KTLA had a news clip about a deputy that was saved by their phone charger that was in their pocket when she got shot. The charger looks like trash, but it didn't actually go into her hip. So that was it.
Awesome. So keep your Apple paraphernalia in your pockets and maybe you won't die. Who knows? That's by the way, that's not covered in the warranty.
Flying lead is not warranty approved.
But if you bring it into the Apple store, I'm sure they're going to treat you nicely. They just can't advertise it stops bullets. You know, legal. So that's all for news. Let us go into some focus points as soon as post pick of the week. Let's do that next. Matt, it's your turn.
All righty.
Wait, is it Matt's turn? I could have sworn that he picked the last week one, wasn't it?
No, I did last week.
You did last week? Damn. Yep. All right, I'm losing my brain. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Matt. Let me put you back on the spot. Subsequently buying you more time.
Yes. Well, that's good, because I lost the picture that I picked.
Oh, kaka.
Yeah. I thought it was on the phone here, and it's gone.
Dang. I hate when that happens.
So, needless to say, there's a lot of pictures in our stream right now.
See here, there is 14,893 as of this recording.
Damn. That's awesome. And all of them are awesome. If I were to pick, if I could take your turn, I would pick Fred Zelder's photo of these mushrooms on the ground.
Mushrooms.
That's a good one, but that's not my pick.
That's not your pick? Okay, so Fred Zelder, since it wasn't my turn, you get honorable mention. Wow, a lot of masks here. I forgot it's Halloween.
Yeah, yesterday was Halloween.
Okay, I found it. Holy smokes, that took forever.
You know what's funny? Actually, I'm sorry. I'm going to go off on a tangent. I love to dig 0044 has a picture of his son in a Necrocomicon thing. And he's standing in what's supposed to be a pentagram, but instead it's the Star of David. I don't think you're going to get the appropriate spell to activate. Your son will be kosher, but I can't promise you demons. Anyway, go on, Matt.
All righty. So my pick this week is from the mighty Kev Kev.
Oh, I love his work.
Yeah. So I'm pretty partial to this picture. I've been doing a lot lately, it seems.
Go on. Repeat that one more time. You got delayed there for a second.
Oh, I said I'm pretty partial to this particular photo because it's in a panoramic format.
Okay.
And So basically, his picture is a, I hesitate to call it a lone tree because there's some other trees in the background, but there's a large tree that dominates the, pretty much the center of the foreground.
Uh-huh.
And the photo was taken, it looks like sunset, and the moon is visible, although I have a sneaky suspicion the moon was added to the picture after the fact, but nevertheless, it looks pretty cool.
Nice.
And then he also added birds, like from distressed effects or something like that. But I think they totally work with the image. And I guess it's just this tree that dominates the pictures. I don't know. It's just kind of cool looking. And then the colors of the sunset, it's just very... very saturated, very vibrant, and it's a pretty cool gradient from like orange right on the horizon line up into like a dark blue purple color.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I like it.
So, and actually he does have distressed effects as a hashtag, so I know for a fact that's where the birds came from.
Yeah, but it, I mean, like you said, it works. It actually blends in quite nicely.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. So, the Mighty Kev Kev, I'm digging it.
All right. Something else by the Mighty Kev Kev. He has, if you, let's see, let's go back to his feed. Okay, so if you're looking at his feed, in that photo, the row above it has a video.
Oh, the car?
Yeah. That is awesome, because at first I thought that was a real video. And what it is, and this has become very popular as of late, it's people taking photography and video of Grand Theft Auto 5, which I think is really cool. Because he had me going for a second. Just for a second. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That's the other thing. So... very cool stuff. So, congratulations, the Mighty Kev. You are mighty indeed. And with that, let's go into post pick of the week. No, wait. What the heck am I doing? I met focus point. Sorry. Whoa, what was that other audio there?
Sorry.
That's me. No problem. My bad. So anyway, here we go.
Focus point.
I got to get these more in order. That's my bad. So focus point, I think. Why don't you guys go first? Let's start with you, Joe.
All right. Well, after we talked about Snapseed, I said, oh, yeah, my focus point is going to be Snapseed because, you know, not only did they come out with the HDR effect, they also added to the regular – let me – get it correctly. They also added to Tune Image. They added a shadow. What do they call those? Feature. So apparently it's supposed to help with shadows, but I they also changed a bit of the UI. I think it's a lot faster than the previous. I guess it had to do with the 7 changeover and that. Yeah. I do have to say, I'm not very happy with Instagram right now. They need to get on the ball because my app keeps crashing. And then they have the nerve to send a little push notification saying, oh, your Instagram crashed. Hold down the the button to turn off your phone. I was like, seriously? You're going to tell me to restart my phone when you're the only app that's crashing? Ugh. So, yeah. But no, Snapseed made this a little bit faster, so that's going to be my pick.
Awesome. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, I have an app this week called Tada SLR. So I'm sure everybody's heard of Tada when... I don't know, several months ago, everybody wanted to leave Instagram for whatever reason. So everybody was going to Tada, which is just another, you know, photo sharing
yeah,
app, kind of like Instagram.
How do you spell it?
TADAA.
Oh, missing the A. Okay.
And they had another app that I think was called Tada 3D. I don't really know much about it. I never really checked it out, but this new app, Tada SLR, caught my eye. Ooh. It's another one of those apps that basically lets you load a picture into it and then select what you want to be in focus, and then it basically blurs, the rest of the picture to kind of give you that shallow depth of field look, or like a bokeh look.
Yeah.
And I have several other apps that do this, like Big Lens is probably one of my favorites. But I thought I'd give this one a shot. And I tell you, it's freaking awesome. So basically, the way that it masks, it basically highlights what you want to keep in focus, like in green. And it has really, really good edge detecting ability.
Nice.
So as you're kind of moving your finger along, it sort of like auto fills in to the edges, and you can erase it if it goes too far. And I did one picture last weekend, and it took like a couple times of erasing and then remasking for it to kind of learn where the edge was that I was trying to get to. But eventually it got it like perfect. This app has done the most perfect masking that I've ever seen any of these kind of apps do.
Hair is one of the hardest ones to do, when it comes to having a depth of field, because a lot of times it'll mask all of the hair and just leave the face, or, vice versa. It'll, that's sometimes some of the hardest things.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And this one, this app has a lot of control, which I like. So like once you have your mask selected, you can basically control the amount of blur, for your depth of field effect, which I really like a lot. And then there's also like all kinds of other controls. Like you could have basically like a circular blur or a linear blur, and you could control like how much blur that there is. And then it also has like some basic, photo adjustments like brightness, contrast, and saturation. There are some filters. There was a couple of them that I liked, but most of them are really heavy-handed, kind of over-the-top kind of stuff. But it does allow you to control the amount of the filter that's applied. And then there's also like sharing features and stuff like that for, social media. All the standard stuff, but if you want to do this kind of depth of field, shallow depth of field stuff, this app is definitely worth checking out.
How does it compare to like Big Lens?
I think it's easier to use because Big Lens, you kind of need to get the mask like pretty perfect, like by hand.
Right.
Right. So it doesn't really have edge detecting ability, and Tada SLR does. So it makes, creating the mask a lot simpler.
Nice. I just downloaded it. I'm playing with it right now.
Yeah, I'm playing with it too.
Yeah, it's a free app, by the way. So I would say definitely check it out. It's pretty sweet.
Awesome. Cool.
I think these kind of apps are almost like an essential thing to have with the iPhone, since it's pretty much impossible to achieve a shallow depth of field.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not impossible, but it's difficult. You rarely find yourself in a situation where you can achieve a shallow depth of field.
And that's due to the nature of the size of the sensor and the lens, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I think this app does the best job of this out of all the apps I've tried so far.
Cool. I'll definitely give it a try. Awesome. So, and then my pick for this week is simply to check out Casual Photography. It's a new podcast that we're all doing. It's Joe, Matt, myself, and Maud Byrne.
Everybody.
Everybody's yeah, pretty much. It's going to be good old... I don't want to say roundtable discussion because that's overused. So I'm going to say it's just a bunch of us kicking back on the couch and just chatting about photography. And that includes... What's that?
It's more of an oblong table.
More of an oblong. There's a coffee table involved. And we're just kicking back with a beer or soda or soda beer. New in our store. we're just kicking back, talking about photography, whether it's iPhone related, other camera related, or any other visual art that you could think of. We're just going to sit back, talk about it, and shoot the breeze. That's the story behind that one. So go to casualphotography.net to check it out, or you can find it on iTunes, Casual Photography, and it's not on Stitcher yet, but yeah, whatever. So that's all for this week. If you want to contact the show, or if you would like to submit your photo for post pick of the week, just email the show. Go to tinyshutter.com and find the contact us page and do your contact thing. Simply. What he said. The easier way is to go to Instagram and just add the hashtag #tinyshutter to your photo and boom, you're already in. So that's a great way to share. And if you want to contact us, there's our Facebook page, our Tiny Shutter page on Google+, and then we have our Twitter account. We are at Tiny Shutter. That's all. I got it. I got nothing else. No more social groups. No more. Joe, tell the world where they can find you on this awesome interwebs.
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira.
Sweet. How about you, Matt?
I can be found on Instagram and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
Awesome. And you can find me, Mark Sadowski, on Twitter. I'm at Mostly Marcus. Or you can find me on Instagram. I am Lenswipe. Although I'm debating whether I should change that. Maybe we'll make a contest. I don't know. We'll see. But that's all for this week. Tune in next week where we'll talk about even more iPhone photography goodness. And let's see if I can figure out this Ta-da SLR because it did not work for me just now. But
hey, I got something good.
Oh, there you go. So follow Joe and you can see his awesomeness.
It's operator error.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I don't doubt that.
Yeah, the first photo I did with it turned out freaking awesome.
God damn you guys. All right, that's all. We're ending it right now before I look any worse.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.